My guest at this time is retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely. He is also the head of Stand Up America. He's also been our guest many, many times talking about issues in the Middle East, and some of our most recent conversations have focused on his expertise on the civil war in Syria. He's been in contact with opposition military leaders, and we wanted to get his thoughts today on reports that the Syrian government is now resorting to the use of chemical weapons. Conflicting reports on whether that's happened, but we want to get insights and understand what he's learned from his sources in that region. And General, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg, for having me on again. Appreciate it.
Well, we've certainly heard reports from Reuters as well as other reputable news organizations that chemical weapons have been used, that the smell of chlorine was clearly in the air. Others have said that footage of those affected by those attacks would show very different effects, more blisters and different effects of people rather than being hit by conventional munitions. What's your sense of what's going on there, and what have you specifically heard from your sources in and around Syria?
Well, when I visited the Syrian opposition forces, specifically the Free Syrian Army, last July, shortly after I met with many of the commanders, some of them the generals and senior colonels and staff from Assad, from the Syrian regular army, they had defected over. And I had also met at the same time on that trip a medical team from Canada. But later on that summer, the Syrian army did use chlorine gas on the civilians. And we had photos and pictures of that, which I provided the Defense Department as well as other people in our intelligence organizations. So this attack, clearly this time, from what I received from the Canadian medical team who works out of Aleppo, is that it was chlorine again, and that what you saw were the reactions on those videos that were put out within the last week. But the chlorine, the choking, the skin, depending on the level of the density of the chlorine, will cause skin irritation. Of course, if it's mixed with other type of gases too, then it could have a, you know, an even more enhanced effect on the human body, not only breathing but on the skin. So, according to our vetting and our intelligence sources and my two visits there, this is probably 95% accurate that it was used by Assad's people and trying to blame it on the opposition forces.
Generally speaking, sir, how big of a range would a chemical weapon have? How big of an area could it contaminate and impact the population there?
Oh, it depends on the warhead or whether it's, you know, dispersed in canisters and sprayed on the ground, you know, much like they do tear gas. So it can range all the way from a tank hanging off an aircraft, which would be a fairly big load that could cover several miles. By artillery, you're probably talking, you know, about the same thing, rockets and missiles. The close-in stuff, you're talking 100, 200 yards. But the people then, the armed forces that would be delivering that then would have to have their own mask on and everything if they're going to do close-in spraying.
What do we know about the extent of their WMD arsenal and how they got it?
Well, if you go back to January through March of 2003, we had intelligence even in the Defense Department that the Russians helped move by convoy a lot of the chemical and biological weapons from Iraq into two locations in Syria and one in the Bekaa Valley in Lebanon. So we suspect that some of the chemical and biological, maybe not all, because we think Russia and Iran has enhanced their inventory, the vast majority of those chemical and biological weapons were from Iraq. And we have good intelligence. We even provided the Bush administration, but Bush kept getting hammered on it, and we had factual information that came from the Israelis, satellite pictures of moving the vehicles over and the specific names of the generals in the Russian Spetsnaz who assisted Hussein in getting those moved over to Syria.
So given, if that is in fact the case, what do we know about how vast their arsenal is in these areas, and what do they have potentially besides chlorine, if anything?
Well, they have VX, what they call, they have sarin gas. The biological, I don't know what those inventories are. The Free Syrian Army does have observation teams out. They do know the locations of the biochem weapons, and their observation teams are providing the opposition forces an opportunity to watch, observe if they're moving them. But now the delivery is the other big question, how the Army's delivering them against the civilian population. And, of course, that can be done by rockets, by missiles. Certain artillery shells can have the warheads loaded with chemical or biological, or they can be delivered by helicopter or by jet aircraft.
General, I do want to follow up on the answer you gave just a moment ago, particularly as we're now exactly this week, one decade, 10 years after the start of the Iraq War. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that much of Saddam's weapons ended up in Syria, and how do we know whether what we're seeing right now is from him?
Well, we know they were moved, and after the takedown of Saddam and 2003, there was a big survey that was done by U.S. forces all throughout Iraq, and basically, as far as I know, all of the bio and chemical weapons had been moved. And of course, they found semblance of a growing nuclear development program, but it was very, very much not an aggressive program by any means from the nuclear site, the nuclear information that they picked up. So the fact is that he had him used on his own people. He knew he had to get him out of there. There was a big cover-up and deception in how he moved them over there. But we did know about him, but the Bush administration never came forth and explained to the American people that particular situation.
So would you say you're 75%, 80%, 100% sure?
95%.
95%. Wow.
Yeah. The weapons were moved, and part of those are being used now. All of those type of things have a certain shelf life. And it depends, how they're put in containers, how they're kept, temperature, all of those things. When you're keeping active components like that for explosives or chem or bio, they have to be under very strict environmental conditions in order to extend their shelf life. So I would say, in less than 10 years, all those weapons are probably pretty good as far as shelf life.
Wow, that is major news right there. Let's talk about the resistance. You've obviously met with their leadership, at least many different figures in their leadership, so you have a pretty good idea of what their arsenal looks like. What do you expect them to do in retaliation for these what appear to be chemical weapons attacks, and just how extensive is their arsenal?
Well, I think everybody has to understand, you've got al-Qaeda in there, you've got Muslim Brotherhood, you've got various factions, probably anywhere from 5 to 6 factions in the opposition forces. The ones that control most of the combat operations against the Assad regime and are most effective and have the most men, probably anywhere from 60 to 70,000 of the Free Syrian Army. And most of their weapons and ammunition has come from defecting members of the regular Syrian Army, as they've taken down different installations and convoys. So they will continue to fight, continue to control until Assad falls. And the other thing that we know, Assad and senior members of his government plan probably to be taken out by ship out of the base that the Russians come into called TARTUS, T-A-R-T-U-S. And the other Alawite strong point is Latakia, which is on the coast. And so if anything continues, any situation continues to deteriorate for the Assad government, they will move to be evacuated by Russia or by Iran.
General, in reaction to the Benghazi crisis of several months ago, a number of lawmakers, including Senator Rand Paul, started asking questions about whether or not the administration is moving weapons, potentially from Gaddafi's old arsenal, to the opposition in Syria, potentially through Turkey. What do you know about that?
I don't have any specific information other than what you have on that movement, where those weapons, if they were sent out of Libya. We have a high degree of confidence that there was gun systems, particularly shoulder-fired missiles. Gaddafi had a tremendous inventory of weapons, machine guns, rifles, pistols, ammunition. And so I believe from what I have received so far that there was something there going on in supplying those weapons up to Syria. Where they ended up, I don't know. And I don't know whether they came through Turkey, but if they were going up, they would probably come in into the Assad side of things, into Tartus.
And last question, what does this do for the dynamics of the war and the timetable? In our previous conversations, you've said you thought it's probably just a matter of maybe a couple or a few months until Assad falls. Would suggest that he's getting more desperate, that the fact that he's resorting to these weapons. But what do you think this will do for how this all plays out?
Well, you know, say I was over there in July and then November and December just a few months ago, and, you know, he's definitely being weakened. The Free Syrian Army are attacking the airplanes on the ground, so international planes have stopped going in there for the most part, except for Russian and Iran. So he's definitely in a weakened position, and he gets weakened every week by defections from his own government and army. At the same time, as he continues to slaughter Syrian civilians, he loses the support of the population. So the only ones he's really supported by now are his own sect up there called the Alawites. And they do not control but a very small geographic portion of Syria. And that's basically what you'd call the northwest or the western part of Syria.
General?
It could be months. It just depends how much pressure is put on by the opposition forces.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time today. A lot of important revelations in this conversation. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Okay, Greg.
Retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely, now head of Stand Up America. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.